Let's go ahead and start turning to James chapter 4 this morning. It's James, the fourth chapter. And continuing from what we had kind of started with last week about talking about some of the fundamentals of what God's been showing us. Last week, you know, Holy Spirit, He reminded us throughout the entire service what He was trying to say. How the same message was brought about through multiple people. And I've been hearing from other believers in other parts of the country, and it sounds like it's the same message of authority going forth last week, being spoken through Holy Spirit. You know, God doesn't do things on accident. I believe that is the current word for the church, is to get back to the basics, to press into what Holy Spirit is saying, press into our authority. You know, we had focused on the seven mountains of influence last week, and it all boils down that wherever people are is where God desires to be. Wherever people make decisions, God wants them to look to Him to make those decisions and to carry it out. Whatever influence we have, He wants us to use it. Jesus gave us His authority, and His authority is over every single thing. We have His authority over families, over education, entertainment, media, over government, over businesses, and religion. I'll say we can put it this way. Wherever our feet go, we have His authority. Now here at New Life, that's nothing new that you guys have heard, but it's something that you've heard over and over and over. It's something that we fully much embrace and walk out. It's something that's fundamental and foundational to our walk with God. I think there's something that God's wanting us to park right here and look at. He's not needing us to have new revelation that we've never heard before, but to embrace something that He's shown us already. He's wanting us to hear what He wants us to hear. It's letting Him to be the one that has control. Letting Him be the one to start it into motion. We can read here in James 4, starting in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The word that I got for this week's message was surrender. Fully yielding to God. Recognizing how He's the one that we look to. He's the one that we trust. There are some verses in the Bible that we read only a part of it, or we only embrace or remember a portion of it, where we stand on only part of what God says. Here in verse 7, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oftentimes we see and we remember, resist the devil, and he will flee. But there's the presupposition that you're doing the first part of that verse, that you're submitting to God. Our first role is to submit to God. It's not enough just to resist the devil. If we resist the devil without being submitted to God, it's like pushing a rope. It's not going to get us anywhere. Sure, we can try to do it and try to do it and try to do it, but not making any real progress. It's like spinning our tires. Plenty of smoke, but you're not actually going anywhere. Kind of fitting with the snow this morning. You know, God shows us what we need, though. Without Him, nothing really satisfies in this life. God isn't looking for us to enjoy the gifts that He gives us. He's looking for us to enjoy the one who gives them to us. The gifts are merely a bonus. He wants that relationship with Him first and foremost. See, Jesus is not wanting us to say yes to heaven. He wants us to say yes to relationship with Him. Heaven's just a given. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody out there that tries to evangelize and tell people that hell's hot. trying to scare them out of hell, not trying to get them to choose between heaven and hell. That's not what it's about. It's about recognizing and relating and embracing the relationship with Jesus. You know, He is the only way to heaven. It's through the person of Jesus. Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the only way there. It's not about the destination. It's about the person that's the door. Because once you say yes to Jesus, that destination is already determined. And there's so much more than just the destination of heaven. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one that we look to. He's the one that we cling to, the one that we hold fast to. He wants us to press into that relationship with Him. He wants us to recognize Him in that relationship. He wants us to trust Him in leading us. He wants to build that trust with us. I heard it this week, and it's very, very true. The more we recognize and understand His nature, the more that we can trust Him. The more that we realize that He is faithful, the more we can trust Him. The more we realize that He is loving, we can trust Him. The more we recognize how He is good, all the more we trust Him. We can't truly describe His full nature because there's no end to what He's capable of. We can list things that He's done for us in the past. We can list things that He is not as part of His nature. But the depth of His nature is so deep that we can never see the end of it. That's why He wants us to enter into and explore His nature. And the way to do that, spending time with Him. Letting go and letting God do what He wants to do. We can turn it all over to Him. It says to draw near to God and He will draw near to us. But we have to be willing to draw near. Not to keep Him at a distance or to only call Him when we're needing something. But when we truly let Him lead our lives, that's when transformation happens. That's when miracles happen. That's when the impossible becomes possible. See, we're not torn and we have one foot in the kingdom and one foot out in the world. We're either all in or we're out. There's no center ground. There's no neutral zone. That's why James instructs us to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Because God doesn't want to see us as sinners any longer. He wants to see us under the blood of Jesus. He doesn't want us to be double-minded anymore. He wants us to be in step with Holy Spirit. He wants us to be yielded for His glory. Peter echoes exactly what James says as well in 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion and forever and ever. Amen. I'll say both Peter and James have the word therefore in the first verse of what we read. Now, those of you who have caught on to the way that my mind works, I'm sorry, but you see the word therefore here. And you know that I go looking at the before to see what was being talked about. And the verse before both of these passages says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, which is a reference to Proverbs 3:34. See, God's wanting us to humble ourselves. He's wanting us to recognize that it's not about us. We're not to be self-serving, but we're to rely on His grace and His mercy. See, on our own, we'll mess it all up. On our own, we'll struggle. We'll labor to make it happen. But when it's done with God's plan and God's timing, He's the one that's doing it. We're simply along for the ride, letting Him do it through us. Humbling ourselves, we need to give it over to God. It's worth handing it over to Him. Because as long as we're hanging on to it, He can't do anything with it. If we will let it go, He can do great things with it. He can turn it around, but we must submit that to Him. We can't hold on to it. It says to cast all our cares on Him. You know, when we worry or we fret or we obsess ourselves with it, we aren't casting our cares on Him. We have to give it over to Him and trust that whatever He does, His plans are good. It may not look like our plan or the way that we would have done it, but God knows what He's doing. I'll say many of you know how back when we were trying to conceive Gracie, we had been struggling to conceive. A year went by, we couldn't get pregnant. We continued trying, and still nothing. We started seeing a specialist. We left that specialist because they were at a loss and they weren't seeing anything. We found a different one, and we had been praying and praying and praying. We've been up for prayer over and over and over. We took and we laid hands on Ashley's womb and spoke to it, telling it to be healed, telling it to be whole, claiming the healing that God had planned. And the doctor had suggested a couple of ways to make it happen with in vitro and IVF, but immediately we heard no from God. We knew that God was wanting to show Himself powerful in it. You know, every guest speaker we would have prayer from them for that. We were expecting a healing some way, somehow. Here's where it was, though. We were so obsessed with it that was what most of our prayer life had become. We were so consumed by having another child that we were missing out on what else God was wanting to say. He had good things planned. He wanted good things for us. He was trying to tell us to focus past the child. There was even a prophetic word in that time frame that was spoken over us that we had missed pressing into it because we were so focused on having another kid. Some of the bits and pieces of it we saw fulfilled years after that. We were missing out on the relationship that God had desired with us at the time. We had wanted a kid, but God wanted our relationship. So we finally gave it over to Him. We said, okay, God, whatever you have planned, we're in. If it's adopting, we'll adopt. If it's having it naturally, absolutely, that's the way we want to go too. But it's your timing, and we've realized we can't control it. So we started moving past that. We started going and doing things that God was laying on our hearts to do. We started doing the things that God was showing us that He wanted. And that next month, this is so much the way God works. That very next month, once we focused on Him and not what the desire was, that's when it happened. That's the suddenlies that God does. But it was because we turned it over to Him. See, as long as we were hanging on to having another kid, that we were holding on to it so tightly, God couldn't do anything with it. The whole time we were gripping it so tight, we couldn't receive anything else that God had planned. It wasn't until we fully submitted to Him that He was able to do what He always wanted to do. And after we went through that, God started opening the doors and putting other people in our paths that were also going through infertility. He showed us just how many people were going through it. And He opened doors and allowed us to minister in ways that we never would have ministered to otherwise. So we have to let go of it to God. But it's not just letting it go. It's letting it go so that God can take it. It's submitting it ourselves to Him, not hanging it onto it so tightly. You know, I've said it a couple of times that we think of strongholds as something that's got a hold of us, causing the issues. But sometimes it's the stuff that we're holding on to too tightly. See, until we let go of it and let God take it, our desire to hold on to it is what controls us. God's not looking for a bunch of control freaks. When we don't give it over to God, that is exactly what the enemy is wanting us to do. It's how he's having his way. The enemy knows that if he can get us to hang on to it, or just give a little bit of it over to God, or if we justify why we're hanging on to it, then we aren't walking in the fullness of what God had intended. See, God loves us. He desires for us to trust Him. He wants us to recognize His goodness in everything. God has shown us His character since He created man. When we read our Bible, we can't help but see over and over again how God is faithful, how God is good. We see that when He makes promises, He backs them up. He doesn't say something and then just not do it. He follows through on His words. The more we understand God's nature, the more we trust Him. We can abandon our desires and let Him be the one to guide us. His nature is loving. Throughout the Word, we see how He loves each and every person that He used, even when they had apparent faults in their lives. God uses some people that they had quite a few issues. David, Elijah, Moses, Aaron, they all had issues. None of us are perfect, and that's the wonder of the kingdom. God still uses each and every one of us. God doesn't need someone who's perfect because He's already perfect. He's just looking for someone who is willing. Someone to say, "Here I am, God, send me." Every person that God used, they were merely a willing vessel. Someone that was willing to listen to and do what God had told them to do. Someone that was willing to carry Holy Spirit wherever they went. When we completely submit ourselves to God, we fully trust Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to come to Him with it all. Not just when we've got to the end of our rope, not just when we've tried it our way and failed. He wants us to come to Him from the beginning. He desires that sweet relationship with Him. In the past year, more than ever, God has been showing me over and over in His Word about relationship. He wants us to recognize how He made us for relationship. He made us to have relationships with people, not isolate from each other, not back off and always be one-sided only one person doing all the talking, but a mutual relationship going both ways. He wants that from us in person-to-person relationships, but he reminds us that he made us in his image. And that's why we have relationships with others. 1 John 1 in verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." He wants us to have a relationship with him more than anything, though. He wants us to establish that relationship with him. And out of that relationship, we have a desire for what he desires, because we love him back. The more we submit to God, the more we understand his desires. The more we submit to God, the more we will draw near to him. Kingdom living happens today when we walk according to his will here on earth. We've freely received grace and mercy, but he has so much more than that available to us. He wants us to live victoriously for him. When we live for him out of that relationship, things that we struggled with get easier. When we live life for him out of that relationship, it makes the storms easier to bear. The storms will come, but we have a solid foundation to stand on that won't be moved. We're rooted so deeply with Jesus that we won't be plucked up and uprooted when the storm comes. Saying yes to Jesus doesn't make the enemy stop trying to interrupt our plans, but it does give us the best person to go through it with, Jesus. That relationship that he desires with us is our well that we draw from. It's where we start to recognize the beauty of God, how we're amazed at how smart he is, where we're in awe of the great plans that he has for us. And it's out of that relationship where we operate in obedience. We have the privilege of having a relationship with the Omnipotent One, the All-Powerful One, the One who created everything. No one else can compare to who he is. Every act of faith we have should come from that relationship. Bible reading plans are good, but the objection is not to mark off tallies. It's not to check a box every day that we read certain passages. It's more about carving out time with God, reading until he shows you what it is that he intended you to read, what it is that he wanted to show you about his nature, about his relationship with you. Every act of service we do, it's not to get our own recognition for it, but it's to get him recognized for it. He might be willing to, might be wanting to draw someone in by that relationship. The gospel, it isn't words to turn someone's life around. It's the life and lifestyle of Jesus to turn them around. It's a relationship with God that transforms us. Some of the biggest freedoms I have in my life are from breaking off old habits and activities that did not come from human instruction, but it came from the relationship with God. And once I did shed those off, there really was freedom that I could feel the weight lifted off of me. God is not a controlling God. He gives us full choice. He doesn't force us into any decision. He allows us to choose. He could have made us robots where we would do exactly what he says or wants, but he didn't. He wanted us to desire him. He wanted us to pursue Him. It's our choice. His desire is for us to submit to Him. Because when we submit to Him, He works the rest out. He's the one who makes it happen. There's scripture that, where it says that God gives us the desires of our hearts, but that has the understanding that we're submitted to God first. Because when our desires are lined up with God's desires, they will happen every single time. So we must allow Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out, to allow Holy Spirit to be the one to have control. Not to be concerned about man's opinion, not to be concerned about what other men think, not to cast our opinion on other men either, but to allow Holy Spirit to be the one to reveal it to him. God is looking for radically obedient people here in Rochester in 2023. He wants us to care more for Him than we do of this world. In a society that's looking to see which side we will choose, He wants people who are willing to go, I'm not going to go with the flow. I'm going to do what God tells me. I'm going to choose God. We don't put God in a box. We don't relegate Him for what He can do for us. We don't enter into the relationship because of what's in it for us. We enter into the relationship because we love the one who is on the other end of it. God is looking for those who will reflect the relationship that we have with Christ right here in Rochester. And that relationship is shown when we submit ourselves to Him. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for this continued revelation of relationship, God. Lord, we thank You that You desire relationships with us, Lord, that You desire to have Your way in our lives, God. Lord, but we must fully submit to You before You can do that. So, Lord, have Your way in our lives. Lord, have Your way in our finances. Lord, have Your way in our relationships, God. Have Your way doing what You've always wanted to do. Lord, there is no one like You. Lord, we give You full control. Lord, anything we've been trying to hang on to, we release that to You so that You can do whatever it is that You want. Lord, if we try to pick up and try to get control again, God, remind us that You want to take it and keep it. It's only if You give it back to us that we take it back up, God. Lord, we thank You for Your relationship. Lord, we love You so much that we embrace that relationship and look for ways to walk out Your desires in our lives. So have Your way. Have Your way in us, God. Have Your way. We thank You. We praise You. It's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.